This is Stuart Molina, music director of the Harrisburg Symphony Orchestra. This podcast will be about Barber's beautiful violin concerto, which is the second piece on our Masterworks program for January. The Barber Violin Concerto is among my favorite 20th century concertos for any instrument. I think it's extremely beautiful. I think it's extremely profound. It's dazzling in its virtuosity, and it's beautifully constructed. In short, it's kind of a perfect gem of a piece. And every time I perform it, I'm amazed once again by how stunning a work it is. I think it will be particularly interesting coming off of the Ellen Zwillick Prologue and Variations for Strings that open this program, because in that work we have this ambiguous tonality, major slash minor. Is it actually in any tonal key? It's more about intervals and the harmony that they imply. Whereas the Barber Violin Concerto, at the very beginning, makes it absolutely clear that we are not only in a tonal key, but in as pure a statement of that tonality as possible, a perfect major chord. It is clear as crystal that we are in G major, and with the movement to C major in the second bar, that we're dealing with some pretty standard 18th, 19th century harmony as a basis for this piece. But the other thing that's introduced in the second measure, which is what I'm going to focus on in this podcast, is the use of modes. In this particular case, the Lydian mode. The Lydian mode is, if you're playing on the white keys on a piano, it would begin on F and include the B natural. So in other words, it has four whole tones to start with, a raised fourth degree in musical terms. Starting on C, it means the addition of an F sharp instead of an F natural, and that's what we hear in this second measure. That F sharp. Now let me continue the phrase, and you'll hear that it isn't just an incidental statement of this F sharp, but rather he's really hammering it home. Again and again, he repeats this F-sharp over C. In essence, he's saying, in musical terms, that this is going to be a mode that he's going to use. In other words, kind of get your ears used to hearing this, because it's going to come back a lot. And in fact, you are going to hear it a lot. In most of the melodies in this piece, and in each of the movements, a lot of energy is devoted to composition in the Lydian mode. So it really becomes, in a sense, a theme of this piece. And let me just take you through a little bit and show you how this manifests itself. At the end of the first statement of this first theme, for example, this is what it will sound like, beginning, again, very much in just a normal, traditional harmony statement of G major, and ending with this Lydian mode. Goes back into the Lydian mode. So we're basically having music written in this mode of composition. This is nothing new. You have this hundreds of years before, but this insistence on it and actually using it as a framework for composition is something that's very much a 20th century notion. The second movement is in E major, again beginning with a very standard harmonic basis for a very spectacular melody presented first in the oboe. And what I'd like to talk about in this melody is the use of suspension and appoggiatura. Suspension is a note that comes out of a chord, and then through the changing of the chord underneath it, creates a tension, and creates what's called an appoggiatura. Appoggiatura means leaning note, a note that leans into another note that has to resolve. Just to give you an example, the very beginning of this melody. That note has to resolve. It's an A over an E and has to resolve down. That would be a standalone appoggiatura. But sometimes, in the second statement of this melody, it creates an appoggiatura that comes out of a consonance. C sharp over a C sharp minor chord is consonants. But when the chord changes to E, that C sharp must resolve down. Now, what does this do to the music? Well, I actually think that this creates a sort of heartache underneath the music, this yearning to resolve from dissonance into consonance. And it reminds me very much of Barber's Adagio for Strings, which has a similar use of a consonant note and then with the chord underneath it changing, creating an appoggiatura that must resolve. So let me play you a little bit of this melody so you can hear what I'm talking about in terms of the nature and the emotion of this gorgeous melody. About this melody is it basically challenges the Lydian mode of the first movement by starting this with a simple four-note scale up to a normal perfect fourth as opposed to the Lydian. He's in essence saying we're out of that world. We're back into the serene world, the more consonant world of the Ionian mode, the diatonic scale. But he doesn't really stay there for long. After this orchestral introduction, he brings the violin in one of, again, the more spectacular entrances of a solo instrument. The orchestra plays a simple suspended chord, and he maintains the suspension and we've reached E again, but the soloist shows us we're no longer in E major, We might be in E minor, but as we see, we're in a passage that's going to move through many different keys and out of the major mode. So it begins from an E minor to C. And there's our F sharp again. So immediately he's saying, we're no longer in standard diatonic mode. We're back into a modal kind of writing. But he doesn't stay in the Lydian mode. Rather, he goes from mode to mode. He does land there several times, for example. It's suddenly much more turbulent. And the passage that returns to the main theme, I think, is yet another very brilliant bit of composition, where he has an F pedal, where we've just landed. And around this F pedal, when I say an F pedal, the F is going to stay constant through this passage. He gives us a lot of different chords, which suggest different modes, also suggest different keys. Let me play it for you, and I think you'll get an idea of what I mean. There's our F. Now over a G flat Lydian chord. Kind of a F augmented. Seventh of some sort, a D flat major, and then F major, but we don't stay there. Big surprise, F Lydian. And then what's called an augmented sixth chord, which is going to return. Beautiful first melody. So I hope you could follow that. I think it's an incredibly clever use of this idea of a pedal. Now, moving to the last movement. The last movement is a perpetual motion. He actually writes presto in moto perpetuo, meaning that the violin is going to be playing triplet eighths pretty much throughout the entire movement, except for a couple of orchestral sections. And the piece begins first with the timpani introducing this triplet motive. Very, very fast. And then the violin will take it up. Etc., etc. There is a lot to this movement, certainly harmonically, rhythmically, but I would like to focus a little bit again on the question of modes. In this case, not just the Ionian and Lydian modes, but now also the minor mode, which is the Aeolian mode. So if you have C scale being the white notes on a piano, starting on C, if you start on A, you have the Aeolian mode, which is the minor mode. And he begins in that mode. I'm going to take it a little bit slower, mostly just because I want to be able to play it correctly. And you'll hear that it begins solidly in this minor mode. Having said that, he certainly does throw his fair share of funkiness in, as you'll hear. Thank you. is this funkiness? Well, I point this out just because it's one of these happy coincidences of programming. It's a progression of thirds. And why do I think this is interesting? Well, those of you who listened to the Zwillich podcast, so much of that piece is about thirds, and certainly... Brahms' Fourth Symphony is a piece all about thirds. So somehow Barber felt this vibe and threw in a little passage of thirds. Actually, there are a lot of them in this last movement, but that's incidental. He's now gotten to D minor, also in a minor mode, and you'll hear that he's going to transition through E flat major into D major. And you'll hear now the minor third has become a major third. This is from the beginning of the D minor. Very simple D major progression. But he doesn't stay there long. In D minor. So he's gone back and forth from major mode to minor mode. And this can't really continue for much longer because it's just too infuriating and crazy, so he throws in a big chord in the whole orchestra, which is basically consisting of fourths and fifths. Almost reminiscent of the open strings, perhaps, on the stringed instruments. So where do we go from here? Well, we're going to go to a second theme, and the second theme is once again back in our favorite Lydian mode. And so we have a C bass, but instead of a C major chord, it gives us what sounds like a D major chord on top, but maintains this C bass, both in the basses and in the violin. This is the accompaniment. Melody is centered around F sharp. Again, that Lydian sound. So it's not a standard Lydian theme, but again, it's reminiscent of what we had in the first movement. And it goes along, it's a rather dazzling piece of composition and an even more dazzling feat of virtuosity for the violinist. Very difficult in ensemble between the soloist and the orchestra. It's a fitting end to this really, really wonderful concerto. If you've never heard this concerto before, do yourself a favor and listen to it. It is one of the absolute gems, not just of the American modern repertoire, but really of the entire history of music and music written for the violin.